Turn in your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 2. So I went to a wedding one time in Memphis, and the charge that one of the preachers doing the wedding was the father of the groom, and one of the preachers doing the wedding was the father of the bride. So the father of the bride charged the bride, and the father of the groom charged the groom. And one of the things the father of the groom said, he said, "Son," he said, "listen to your wife. She will usually be right." And there was a nervous laughter sort of like that, because all of the men who'd been married at all any length of time were going, "Amen to that, brother." Well, Kathy and I had a little visit this week, and she said, "I think you were a little bit discouraging last week in the way you were trying to encourage people to read Scripture. I think you were discouraging in the way you were encouraging." And I think she's probably right. So I didn't mean to be, but I probably was. Rooted in Scripture really is not an end in itself. Rooted in Scripture is really because Scripture is the place where God makes himself known in Christ. That's why, really, rooted in Scripture makes any difference at all. The reason I read the Scripture is not so that I can win the trivia, the Bible trivia. It's because I get more of Christ. I see him better. I see facets of him in different ways. It is possible, and I'm living testimony to it, it is very possible to be biblical and not be Christological. You can be biblical and have no Christ. And so we looked at last week a little bit, some of the issues of rooted in Scripture. But we do want to say more, and that's why when we come to this week, it's not simply that we say we're rooted in Scripture, but what we really say is that we are that, but we're also and ultimately rooted in the Christ who is made known and who makes himself known in Scripture. This is where we meet him. This is where we see him. We don't really meet him in the sunrise. Sunrise is beautiful and it cries out, well, there's got to be something that's behind this. But it's really the Christ of the Scriptures that really open up to us the way of salvation. And even as Lee sort of kind of alluded to in his prayer, a question we could ask ourselves, that if we're not rooted in Scripture, and in particular if we're not rooted in Christ, why would we not encourage you simply to contribute to your favorite self-help center where you're encouraged to think positively? If we're not rooted in Christ, ultimately, why wouldn't I just say, you need to find a really good guru who can help people think positively. You need to go heavy in that, invest in that. And of course, the answer to that is that positive thinking is of no help at the grave. Doesn't do a thing. Well, bud, you just need to think positively. So we're not rooted in that. We're rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's read. It's really interesting when we started talking about these rooted sermons. As I thought about rooted themes and things like that, what a great verse. I mean, rooted in him. I mean, that's just written for this church and for the church in every age. So let me read verses. Let's read from Let's read from 1 of chapter 2. Let me see. Yeah, let's just read down here through 8. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance and understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. We'll read one more. Two more. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. Let's pray. Gracious Lord Jesus, we do pray that you would just remind us again and convince us again. We need regular reminding. We need regular convincing that you really are sufficient. You are sufficient for every need, and in you we find everything that our hearts desire. And in you we really do find everything that we really want. Not just what we need, but really in you we find everything that we really want. And so we pray that you, by your Spirit, would be our teacher today and you would encourage us. And we ask it all in your name. Amen. So a brief background, and one of the great things about Colossians, too, it's such a short letter that you can kind of just sit down and just read through it very quickly and see the themes. But apparently there were in this church at Colossae or Colossae, whichever way you want to pronounce it, some false teachers who were attacking, they were not attacking the necessity of Christ. They weren't saying that he wasn't necessary, but what they were doing was they were attacking the sufficiency of Christ. They were saying in essence this: yes, you definitely need Christ for salvation, but you also need to observe certain festivals. You also need to follow certain practices with regard to food and drink. And so, yes, he's necessary, but he's just not quite enough. You really need to do a little more than simply trust Christ. And the Apostle Paul simply says, as succinctly as he can, he says that's simply not true. What he says and what he makes clear as he goes through this letter is that if you want to be accepted by God, and I said, you want to be accepted by God? You say, yes. Do you want to grow spiritually? You say, yes, I do want to grow spiritually. Then what do you need? All you need is Christ. Now, that's all you need. All through the letter, the Apostle Paul is, in fact, if you were to go through this letter and read through it maybe sometime and take your pencil and just circle every time you see in Christ or in him. Just circle it every time you go through it and go, wow, man, that's a lot of stuff that's in him. I mean, every time I'm reading, it's in him, in Christ, in him, in him. I'll read you just a few that I've got. But this is by no means exhaustive. In him, that is, in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. In him, peace has been made for you by the blood of the cross. Peace. You got peace. In him, you are reconciled to God. Christ in you is your hope of glory. In him is spiritual growth. It is his energy that works within us. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See, these people were saying, you just need to have a little bit more of this other kind of stuff. And he's, no, no, no. He's saying, in him is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You have been filled in him. In him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. And so what the Bible talks about is, the Bible says this to the Christian. It says Christ is in you, and guess what? You are in him. Remember the Apostle Paul? It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so what we say about the Christian life is the heart of the entire Christian life. This is the heart of it. That doesn't mean that we don't live for him, because he's getting ready to tell him. He's getting ready to say, look, walk in him. So we live for him. But listen to the heart of the Christian life, the heart of the entire Christian life is not what we have done and not what we can do. The heart of the Christian life is what has been done to us and what has been done for us. That's the heart of the Christian life. That's where it begins, and that's where the whole life runs. It's not what you can do, and it's not what you will do, although you will do a lot, and you can do a lot. But the heart of the Christian life is what has been done for you and what has been done to you in this whole business of union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what Paul says, and what the really Bible says all through the Bible, it says this, that if I am a Christian, that everything I truly need is true of me right now in Christ. In other words, I may not feel like it. Subjectively, I may not feel it, or I may not accept it, but objectively, everything that I need and everything I need to be is true of me right now, not in me, but it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. That all the stuff I don't feel like I have, if I'm a Christian, I have. And I have it in Christ. And so what the apostle is saying, look, he's saying, listen, because of that, because I've said in him 20 times through this letter, because he is in you, because you're in him, don't let anybody fool you with these persuasive arguments that you somehow need more than Christ. And by the way, apparently, based on the end of verse 5 in chapter 2, so far so good. It looks like maybe they hadn't been deluded, because it says, I'm absent in body and with you in spirit. I'm rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. So far it looks like, by the grace of God, they're hanging tight. But the meat of the argument in this letter, the whole central guts of the whole letter, is really found in chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. Let me paraphrase what it says. I'll use some of the actual words, and then I'll put in some different ones. And what Paul says is this. Just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so by faith in that same Lord, walk. Let the settled course of your life remain fixed in Jesus Christ. And as you do, you will not be fooled by arguments and your own flesh that tell you you need more than Christ for your salvation and your life. You know, it's a common, we talked about it in the Inquirers class, it's very common for people who are thinking about the Christian faith to think about it this way. It's almost like I do, I said this in the Inquirers class, it's like I do when I get a physical, and I get yearly physicals. Guys, you need to get a yearly physical. Trust the Lord and get a physical. But so I go get these physicals, so they always call you to remind you, right? Well, so they'll call me 2 days before I'm supposed to go. And it makes me so mad. And why is that? Because I need time to get in shape. You know? I mean, I like knowing 3 months out, you know, so I can eat Cheerios every morning, you know, for 3 months and, you know, do all the kind of stuff, get my blood, you know, cholesterol down and all that, you know, all that kind of stuff. Some people kind of approach Christ like that. They say, I'm going to come to him, but I'm not going to come to him until I get everything straight. Once I get my house in order, once I quit this besetting sin or that besetting sin, once I'm better, once I get to be a better person, then I'm going to come to Jesus Christ. And the gospel says, no. You don't wait till you're better. You just come exactly like you are. You come with all your badness, all your junk, all your sin. You come exactly like you are. You don't get in shape and then come to him. You come to him out of shape with a 365 count cholesterol from a spiritual perspective. High, bad cholesterol, low, good cholesterol, whatever it is, HDL, LDLs, all that stuff. And And so, and that's really what Paul's saying. Paul's saying you don't need any more than Christ. You got everything you need in Him. You don't need these festivals that they're talking about. You don't need these to not eat this and to eat this. And you know, the truth is, and this is important, I think, for Christians to remember that even though we're set free in the Lord Jesus Christ to serve the Lord, you know, we still struggle with a sin nature. And so we need every single verse of the Scripture. We need the Scripture to shore us up and to encourage us and to remind us of things when we're tempted to walk according to the flesh and not to the Spirit. God gives us His Word. And we need it. I don't just come to Christ and then somehow fly off into my own activity. No, I come to Christ and everything He's given me in the Scriptures. And Christ is in every verse, in every word, in every jot, in every tittle of the Scriptures. So the question is, this whole business about walking in Him. And what the apostle does is he uses four words to describe this: rooted, built up, established, and abounding. Now, the word, as you can imagine, that I want to give the most attention to is the word rooted. I want to give it attention for a variety of reasons, not simply because we're in a rooted campaign, and not simply because I'm a gardener, although that is attractive, but because it's a very interesting concept if we follow it out. So what the apostle says is this: as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted in Him. All right, now listen. We're not rooted in rooted. We're not rooted in a building. We're not rooted in a fundraising campaign. We are rooted in Christ. All of the things that we're doing really are means to an end. All of things that we're doing are so that we can continue to enjoy and celebrate the rootedness that we have in Christ, and so that maybe a whole lot of other people, a lot of other children, a lot of other people in the community from every tongue and tribe and nation can also enjoy rootedness. Fundamentally and unchangeably, we are rooted in Christ by the work of God through the gospel. And so what we say when we talk about being rooted in Him, it's not something that we do ourselves. I have never had a squash plant itself. Never has happened. I've never taken my squash out to my garden and put it on the ground and I said, "Now, y'all plant yourselves. I'm going inside. I'll be back in just a minute, and I'll put some Miracle-Gro on you." Doesn't happen. What happens? I have to plant them. I have to root them. I have to put them in the ground and put the dirt around the roots. And so when we think about this, when we talk about being rooted, this is something God has done for us, believers in this room. If you're not a believer, you're kind of trying to think this through, and you're thinking, "Well, I don't know exactly how all that works." Well, just keep listening. Let's see where it winds up. But at some level, what we say is that because we're in union with Christ, because we're rooted in Christ, we can say this. We can say that the things that have happened to Christ have happened to us. That's an easy way to think about it. When you think about the gospel and you think about Christ, you can say this: "Well, I'm a believer. I'm in Christ." What that means is the stuff that I see in the Bible that has happened to Him, I can say that stuff has happened to me because I'm in Him. I've been joined to Christ by the will and the work of God, which means I partake of all of the benefits of Christ's person and work. When He lived a perfect life, guess what? I lived a perfect life. When He died to sin, guess what? I died to sin. When He was raised to resurrection life, guess what? I was raised to resurrection life. Because He has life, I have life. He's alive, I'm alive. Because He's seated in heavenly places, at some level, in the most real sense of reality, we're seated in heavenly places. And so what we say is that because we are in Him, what is true of Him is true of all who are in Him. Now think about this. All of our spiritual blessings, let me just list some of them. The new life we enjoy, the new disposition that we enjoy, holiness, inclusion in God's family, redemption, forgiveness of sins, understanding of the gospel, inheritance, Holy Spirit, freedom from slavery to sin, fruit of the Spirit. All of these things are ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation for those who what? Are in Christ Jesus. So in a very real sense, the secret to living the Christian life is to remember objectively what is true of us. So I'm struggling with a sin. And who here does not struggle with some kind of sin? So I'm struggling with a sin. What do I need to remember? What do I need to know? Well, I need to know that I'm not under condemnation. I need to know that that sin is not going to condemn me. I need to know that that sin is not going to send me to hell. I need to know that. Well, what else do I need to know? I need to know that that sin shall no longer have dominion over me, that I'm not a slave of that sin anymore, that I don't have to do what my flesh says that I am to do. No longer is sin the controlling principle of my life. And the reason I can say that is because of the Lord Jesus Christ and that I am rooted in Him. And so what the apostle talks about when he says this, rooted, built up, established, what the Holy Spirit is saying through the apostle is that we find all of the necessary nourishment and stability and building materials in the Lord Jesus Christ. If I were to go back to a familiar illustration, most of you here know, whether you're a gardener or not, that roots need soil or dirt in order to have life and nourishment and stability. In fact, I tell people all the time, they say, tell me about gardens. I say, I'll tell you something. A garden is about two things. That's all. A garden is about soil and sun. That's it. That's all it is. You say, well, they need water. Yeah, they need water, but you can spray them. You can't make the sunshine. But it needs soil and sun. Those are the two things. And by themselves, a root doesn't provide any life. It provides no nourishment. It provides no stability. You go pull up a plant, and what happens? Ten minutes after you pull the plant up, what does the plant look like? It's all wilted. I mean, you pull it up, it's beautiful, it's thriving. You pull it out of the ground, you're holding it by, and you look up at the roots, great root system. 10 minutes later, the plant is wilting, it's dying. Or do this, pull up a plant and try to stand it on its roots. You pull it up, and you try to stand it right here on its roots, and what does it do? I mean, obviously, it falls over. It doesn't have any stability. It has no nourishment. Apart from the soil, it's dead. It's dead. Well, so what the apostle is saying and what we see all through Scripture is that the same is true of the spiritual realm, that apart from Christ, there's no life, there's no nourishment, there's no strength. Some of you may be here today. Maybe you're not believers, or you don't know if you're believers or not, but you're wondering to yourself, you're saying, well, how come I don't feel like I've got any spiritual nourishment? How come I don't feel like I've got any spiritual strength? How come I don't feel like I have any spiritual stability? Well, the thing may be that you just simply don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if you're a believer in this room and you're struggling with the whole business of, every time I, pull the plan of my life out of the, every time I try to stand it up, it falls over. I don't feel like I have any stability. I don't feel like I have any nourishment. Well, could it possibly be that you're looking in the wrong places for your nourishment? Are you looking in the wrong places for your stability? You're just trying to, maybe you're trying to buck up and do better. Maybe you're trying to buck up and be better, and it's not working. And you're not finding nourishment in yourself, and you're not finding stability in yourself. Well, Jesus said, no. He said, you receive Christ. You're rooted in Him, built up in Him. You know, it's interesting. In the Gospel of John, Jesus refers to Himself, and this is a great illustration, refers to Himself as the vine and Christians as the branches. Now, think about this. What sap runs through the vine and the branches? It's the same sap. And so you think about yourself as you're a branch and He's the vine, and the sap that runs through Jesus, the life-giving sap that is Him, that is Christ, that life that runs through Jesus, the literal sap that runs through the vine runs through you as a branch. The same sap, not separate sap, the same sap. Think about the illustration of the head and the body. So I got fingers, got toes, legs, all these sorts of things. I got a head. Now think about it this way. The same blood that runs through my head is the same blood that runs through my fingers and my toes. It's vital. It's organic. It permeates everything that I am. So the life blood that helps me think and keeps me able to figure out what to do, anything, is the same lifeblood that runs through every part of my body. And it's the same thing with a Christian. The same sap that runs through Jesus Christ, the same blood, the same life that runs through, the same principle that runs through the Lord Jesus Christ is the very same. It's not like the principle. It's not like the life that runs through Jesus. It is the same life. It is not that you get something that's like His. You get His. So do you see? You've got His very life coursing through your veins. By virtue of your union with Him. In other words, Christ is the source of all of our life. He's the source of all of our nourishment. He's the source of all of our strength by virtue of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. The sovereign work of God before the foundation of the world, made effectual through His giving us new life and calling us, the saving realities and events that are true of Jesus Christ are presently true of us. There's no way to overemphasize that the same life that flows in Him, Christian, is the same life that flows in you. And for those of you who aren't sure or you don't know, it's the same life that by faith can flow in you. The same life. Not something different, not a variation, but the same life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the apostle says, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted in Him, built up in Him. Paul is famous for using building illustrations, and there's several of them here that I won't read. But as one person put it, he said, look, just as Christ is the life of the plant, so is He the binding force of the building. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the one who holds it all together, is the Lord Jesus. And so, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith once for all, delivered to the saints, that great old gospel story, as he says in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ Jesus died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried and He was raised on the third day. And then he closes it out with a word he uses six or seven times, and a notion he uses six or seven times in Colossians about thanksgiving. He says, look, you received Him, walk in Him. You're rooted in Him. You're built up in Him. And remain established in the faith just as you were taught, that old gospel story, abounding in thanksgiving for all the great things God has done for you in Christ Jesus the Lord. We have so much to be thankful for. It just takes a little bit of thinking, just a little bit of thinking on that old gospel story, and remind ourselves, you know, we have so much to be thankful for. The Christian life really is a thankful life. At the end of the day, it's a thankful life. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we do give You thanks. Lord Jesus, we give You thanks for the rooting that You do, for the work You do, and even the work You've done from before the foundation of the world. Father, we thank You for the nourishment we have in Your Son. We thank You for the life-giving nutrients and sustenance that we get through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank You that He's our Lord. We thank You that He is our King. He's the one who is the master of our lives, and we love to have it so. We love it. We love to have He's the best master. He is the best master, and we are so grateful to be a part of a called kingdom. And I pray You would give us the grace that as we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, oh, I pray that by Your sweet mercy and grace that we would walk in Him, that we would remember that we are rooted in Him, that we remember that we're built up. If we're built up at all, it's in Him. That we would remember that we're established in Him according to that old sweet gospel story, and that at the end of the day, we would see we have great cause to just abound in thanksgiving, that we would be thankful people. We love You, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.